one of the great professionals from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, one of our sponsors, and harnessing the great latest scientific advances in health. They give you the attention, respect and care you deserve. That's the whole person healthcare from the SAN. It is a great institution, and we do get to speak to many of their great professionals. And tonight we're talking about heartburn. One in five Australians experience heartburn at least once a week. 5% experience it daily. And we're talking about acid reflux. It's quite common. Can have terrible negative effects on the body. So, reflux. Our guest tonight is from the SAN, Dr. Dan Thiruchelvam. Now, Dr. Dan is an upper gastrointestinal surgeon from the SAN, so he knows this area really, really well. I discussed reflux with him earlier tonight.
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
So when I talk reflux, I think it's stuff coming back up. I mean, this is my layperson's expression of it, which causes heartburn and a few other things. Is that a simple way of explaining reflux?
Yes, that's right. Reflux is a common problem, and it's where there's movement of essentially fluid and food from the stomach back up into the esophagus, and that can cause symptoms and problems. So it's going in the opposite direction to the way it should.
So you get, I think, sore throat, the regurgitation when you bend over, you feel that, difficulty swallowing. Are they some of the symptoms we're talking about?
Yes. The more common one actually is what people will describe as heartburn. So the most common symptom is they say, I feel discomfort. The discomfort may start in the upper tummy and sort of move up behind the breastbone in the chest. That's probably the most common symptom is sort of heartburn and pain. And that may be brought on by big meals, spending over, you know, coffee, alcohol, etc. Yeah. Some of the other symptoms that it can cause, which you have mentioned, things like that relate to the sort of the throat, if you like, and the lungs. So hoarse voice, difficulty swallowing, they may have a cough, or even their dentist might actually comment on the fact that they have reflux because their teeth have got acid-related erosion. Yeah, so there's all sorts of things it can cause.
Yeah, and the obvious next question is what causes it?
Yeah, so a small amount of reflux is actually normal. So if you take a person who's defined as normal, they will have a little bit of fluid that will occasionally come up from the stomach to the esophagus, and that's because the muscle at the bottom end of the esophagus relaxes and allows that to occur. It becomes a problem or becomes pathological when other things allow that reflux to become more frequent. And so in terms of causation, that would be that the lower esophageal sphincter or the muscle at the bottom end of the esophagus, it either relaxes too frequently or in some way it's disturbed or disrupted by the presence of, for example, a hiatal hernia where the stomach is actually moved up into the chest cavity. And so those are some of the common reasons. So increased frequency of relaxation and also things like having a hiatus hernia.
All right. So then I guess the question then is the treatment. That is, first of all, working out what's causing it. You've described some of the possibilities, and then what you can do short of, I guess, surgery would be the ultimate.
Yes. So like most medical conditions, there are things that people can change in their lifestyle. Then they can consider medication options, and then they can consider surgery. So for the majority of patients, they're treated adequately with some lifestyle changes, which I'll talk about in a moment, and medication. Mm. And it's only a minority that require surgery. So those lifestyle changes principally relate to weight reduction. So getting someone's weight down decreases the pressure on their abdomen and decreases reflux. Propping up, say, for example, if they're having reflux at nighttime in bed, they can prop up the bed, you know, have a couple of pillows on their on their bed. They can do things like eat earlier rather than later. So don't eat at 8 p.m. and go to bed at 9 and suffer reflux. You might want to have your dinner earlier at 5 or 6. They can try all of these methods. Now, if they don't work, the next lineup is proton pump inhibitors. They're a medication with a whole lot of commonly, you can buy these actually over the counter at a chemist.
These are pills, are they? Pills?
Tablets. So tablets, and the patient can take those and they're just once a day dosing. Sometimes you need that twice a day, and that will effectively treat the acid content that's coming up and giving you the symptoms. What they don't treat is the non-acid reflux. So that is that the patient's still having reflux coming up in the esophagus, but now it's not acidic because these tablets have shut down the acid. So there's some of the things that people can try before considering keyhole surgery.
Yeah, so then we talk, and we talked about the weight loss, which obviously ideally that should be through lifestyle, but if it's extreme, I guess we talk about weight loss surgery. Is that that can cure reflux?
Correct. So if, again, if you think of it, and just take weight or obesity as the primary cause, say in a patient, then again, yes, trying diet and lifestyle. They can try some medications, but they have their pros and cons in terms of sort of percentage of weight loss and requirement to take those sort of lifelong. And then, yes, you can consider weight loss surgery, which is the most effective treatment to get your weight down.
Yeah, okay. And then the surgical options for dealing with reflux when everything else has been tried, the lifestyle changes, the loss of weight, the tablets, then there's the surgery. So what does that involve?
Yeah, so it's pretty streamlined for the patient. It's all done keyhole. They would come in one day, have the surgery. As I say, it's general anesthetic, keyhole. They're up, you know, it takes probably an hour or less. They're up straight away after the operation and drinking, moving, just on some tablet pain relief and so on. And then they'd be discharged the next day. The only sort of limitations post-operatively are that they're usually on liquids and purees only for 2 weeks, just while the swelling and things settle down. And then they progress through to soft and normal diet, but they could be back at work within a few days or a week. The operation actually, what it does is we, in essence, sort of recreate or reinforce that lower esophageal sphincter. So we tighten that area. And if the patient's also got a hiatus hernia, we repair that hiatus hernia.
Right.
So that effectively then recreates that barrier to stop things going back up into the esophagus.
So you've mentioned a couple of weeks while you're on the liquids and then you go into the soft foods. So how soon is the relief and the end of the reflux?
Oh, straight away. So depending on how bad it is, so reflux is a spectrum. So I've had patients, quite a number, the next day when you're doing a ward round, they're saying, thank God, it's the first night I've, you know, slept without having reflux waking me up. They're on the very severe end. For the others, it'll as soon as they get back onto a normal diet, they again will feel an amazing amount of relief.
Okay, all right. So can people have mild reflux that they're unaware of? Is this one of those things where the early signs can point to something that you can deal with early and catch early?
Absolutely. So one of the key things is that the severity of the symptoms don't necessarily correlate exactly with the severity of the disease. So you might have someone with very mild symptoms, but they've actually got quite bad esophagitis and ulceration of their esophagus.
Okay.
And that can predispose you to things like Barrett's esophagus, which is a precursor to esophageal cancer. So anyone who's having reflux should really see their GP, and their GP will be able to sort of advise them, because, you know, essentially they'll all need at some point a gastroscopy to assess their reflux. Yeah, so absolutely right.
Yeah, I had one recently because I had a colonoscopy, so I guess you can have both of them at the same time.
Correct.
Okay, so you go to the GP. If you've got any symptoms at all, talk to the GP. There are options there, and like so many conditions like this, the sooner you can catch it, the sooner you can intervene and treat it, the better.
Absolutely, yeah, because the most common thing, as I say, you know, when I see these patients, is they say to me, well, I wish I had this 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So, you know, of the majority of patients with reflux, they can be treated with those lifestyle medication options. But anyone, if you look at the strict indications for surgery, they'd be someone whose symptoms are not controlled on medication currently, anyone with complications while still on medication, so that is they've still got that esophagitis or Barrett's or whatever. The third group is anyone who's complaining of volume symptoms, and volume symptoms means they feel fluid and food up in the back of their throat. And the fourth group is anyone who does not want to take medication long-term. So they're the four groups that could consider keyhole surgery.
Doctor, it's very, very interesting and obviously very, very important to get that message out. I appreciate your time here tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, there he is, Dr. Dan Thiruchelvam. He's from the Sydney Adventist Hospital. He's a gastrointestinal surgeon. And so I think there's a pretty good message there. If you've even if it's just very mild, you should talk to your GP, because it's one of those things that, that can get worse. And one of those ones, as you said, where the symptoms aren't necessarily reflecting how bad it might be. So another very, very important conversation from one of the professionals at the Sydney Adventist Hospital, the SAN. 9 to 10 now.